Well, there's lots of excitement here today, and it's great to have our kickoff of so many different ministries, and thank you for being here. Our scripture today is taken from 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, the story of Elisha and the widow's oil. Now, the wife of a member of the company of prophets cried to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord, but a creditor has come to take my children as slaves." Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me," he said, "what do you have in the house?" She answered, "Your servant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil." He said, "Go outside, borrow vessels from all your neighbors, empty vessels and not just a few. Then go in and shut the door behind you and your children and start pouring out into all these vessels. When each is full, set it aside." So she left him and shut the door behind her, and with her children, they kept bringing vessels to her, and she kept pouring. When the vessels were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." But he said to her, "There are no more." Then the oil stopped flowing. She came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debts, and you and your children can live on the rest." This is the word of God for the people of God. Have you noticed that the newscasting on television has shifted now from the great damage that occurred from the two hurricanes, and now it's almost like you feel like it's older news? I'm wondering why. The need is there now to hear stories of people who are struggling and to motivate us to help. I saw a video clip that was inspiring. A fellow by the name of Jeremiah and his son were walking through the water, and they had been rescued, and they were being interviewed as they're walking along in the water. And he tells about the rain, and he tells about the rescue. Then he looks straight into the camera, and he says to the camera guy, "We thank God. We thank God. This is all we got. We lost our car, all our clothes. Everything's gone. Everything's gone." The reporter says, "Well, where are you going to go next?" "We don't know," Jeremiah says. And the reporter says, "You lost everything, but you are still thankful?" And Jeremiah says, "Yeah, we're thankful." That is an incredible response to me that reflects that man's faith of God's provision. In a similar way, as we think about this story, we must believe in the time of trouble that God can provide. In this passage, this woman had lost her husband, and she had very little income, and she's down to next to nothing. And they're going to take her sons, and they're going to make them servants and take them from her. And her husband was a prophet, and she doesn't know what to do. So out of desperation, she turns to Elisha, the chief of the prophets, for help. Now, I want you to understand the backdrop of this story. Israel had been going through a lot of stuff in the time of Elijah and then Elisha. It was just terrible. There were droughts. There was poverty. There was war. And when you read 2 Kings and the passages around it, you think, oh my goodness. Thank goodness we live in better times. But really, the truth of the matter is, times of scarcity can come to anyone. As I said last week, we'd like to think in our world with the technology that we have that we'd be past some of these troubles, but we're not. Those in the Sunbelt states now are struggling to find clean water and sanitary living. But you know, it's not just there. In Africa, ongoing needs exist. The UN Food and Agricultural Organization says that in Africa, 233 million people are hungry. And some of them don't know if they're going to make it through the week. And then if that's not bad enough, the hurricanes and the poverty and hunger, then we have a threat of nuclear war by a dictator who seems to care nothing about human life. And if you're like me, I cry out and say, "God, why does this have to be? God, what do you want to do?" And I struggle with the scarcity and devastation. But it's not just around the world, but people come through our doors here every week who have needs. And we help them in many ways. And we're going to be developing a new outreach ministry, telling you about it. But we help, but again, sometimes it doesn't seem to be enough. And when I look around, though, I see that God is working in the world in many marvelous ways. Last week, a week and a half ago, some of you heard the powerful story of how Paul Webster is helping people in Zambia. And Paul's been there for a few decades, and he's teaching them to raise livestock, and he's providing thousands of eggs for them when they had no eggs, with chickens, and it's just a wonderful story. And you know, the crazy thing is that in our world of need and hunger, there is enough to provide for people if we could just get it to them and if the world could get their act together. One man that I served with in United Methodist Church, a leader, was a farmer in Texas. Of course, you know how Texans are. They can be a little, overconfident sometimes. But he said, J.D., he said, Texas could feed the world. I said, wow. You know, I think maybe that was a little bit of an overstatement. But, you know, the resources in our world are bigger than we ever imagined. I looked this up. The UN Food and Agricultural Organization says the average stock of chickens right now is 19 billion. Chickens are butchered and then more come, 19 billion. Cattle, at an average time, there's 1.4 billion, with sheep and pigs not far behind. And it's a known fact that we're not farming or using all the land around the world. The point is, we could raise enough food for everyone. We just can't seem to get it to them. And dictators block our efforts. I'm foolish enough to believe that God can do miracles in our world. And I think of the story of Joseph, who fed the whole world storing grain. But I want to challenge us this morning in our part of the world, whatever efforts we can make, to exercise faith that God can replenish our needs. God raised up Elijah and Elisha to do this. Elisha prays, and the toxic water in Jericho becomes pure. He prays in another place. The army is thirsty, and he prays for water to fill the trenches, and they're supplied. In 2 Kings, again, here we see him sending oil that blesses a whole village. And then we see these miracles, though, and sometimes we think, oh, that's too incredible for us. But the Bible urges us to pray for God's blessings. I know a lot of people prayed that the rain would stop, that Hurricane Irma would settle down and not destroy the whole state of Florida. It could have been worse. But we as God's people must be vessels of provision. Millions of followers of Christ can make a huge difference. Thousands of ministry relief teams have headed to places devastated by storms in the last 20 years. Right now, individual businesses, people are raising $1 million. They're saying they'll match $1 million. Individuals are saying they'll match $1 million in gifts if others give. We need to believe, like Elisha, that God wants to make us vessels of provision. Rejuvenation in time of need starts with you and me. What we have and offer to God makes a difference. We may feel like we have a very little, but this woman had almost nothing, and she offered her oil to God, and God multiplied it. Friends, I want to tell you something this morning. In the realm of faith in the kingdom of God, the issue is not whether or not we will have enough to give, but the issue is, will we offer ourselves asking God to take our little and for him to make something great of it? Could somebody say amen? Now, we don't know a lot about this woman in the story. Her husband was a prophet, a member of the school of prophets. It would be something like a pastor today being part of the conference of pastors. But this lady had fallen on hard times. She was flat broke. I don't know if you know that, but it happens in Africa today. Pastors who retire can hardly make it. And when they pass away, there's very little for their wives. So it's a situation that's going on today. Now, her sons, it's so bad, are about to be taken by the creditors to work as slaves. She was beside herself. She didn't know what to do, but she decides to go to Elisha, the man of faith, and he tells him her problem. She believes that his prayers can make a difference. I want to say, friends, do we believe that prayer makes a difference? I'm not sure we do. We say we do, but we don't pray near as much as we ought. We have prayer meetings that we offer, and I think if our faith was greater, we'd have many more spending time in prayer. Well, Elisha does what Jesus does. He says to her, "What do you have?" Reminds me of Jesus feeding the 5,000. He says to the disciples out on the hillside, people didn't have food. He said, "What do we have?" They said, "Loaves, 5 loaves and fishes from the young boy." And she says to Elisha, "I have a little jar with some oil in it." Probably not a lot of oil. And she says, "That's all I've got." If you're like me, I often feel that I only have a small amount to offer. I just don't feel like I have the wisdom, the energy, or the gifts to accomplish some tasks. But God says, offer what you have and have faith, and I will multiply it. Wherever you face a need, whether it's in your family and there's conflict and you don't know how to work it through, offer what you have. And God will take your little and multiply it. In your work life, at your job, you're not sure how to conquer certain tasks, offer to God what you have and pray in faith for Him to provide. In this church, every one of us, in whatever ministry we are in, that we're reaching out to children, to youth, in Bible study or Sunday school, offer what you have and in faith ask God to provide. Well, this poor woman gets out her clay pot, and Elijah then asks her another thing. He says, take your pot and then ask your neighbors for what they have and start filling them. So, you know, she goes around to the neighbors and she says, I need your pots. And they're like, you need our pots. Well, what for? Well, the prophet has said that he's going to multiply the oil I have and he's going to fill your pot, and we're just going to keep filling them over and over. And people are like, boy, I'm not sure this is going to work. I'm not sure I want to give up my pot because maybe it'll get lost, and I don't have much either. But they decide to go along, and she just starts filling pot after pot, and the word is spreading, and the oil just keeps coming, and the children are helping, and it's an amazing time. And we don't know if they filled 20 or 40 or 50 or 60 or 100 pots, but I'm thinking they had a lot, a room full of pots. And then the prophet says, you can sell this back to the people, and then you'll have money to live on. I have a feeling this woman was so grateful that she gave some of it away. And so the whole village now is prospering with pots of oil, and poverty is ending because of this blessing, and oil was so important in that time. It took this woman's faith. But the second point I want you to see, and she offered what she had, but the second point is, it took the whole community. It took everyone to participate to make it happen. When you are filled, when I am filled, we begin to share what we have with others and they receive a blessing. Where do you need to be filled? Maybe you need more faith. Maybe you need more love and understanding. Maybe you feel like you don't have enough time to get things done. Maybe you feel like your life is not exciting enough. You need something to fulfill you. God can take all of our emptiness in whatever area it is and fill it up. Sometimes as a church, we might feel like we don't have enough people to do ministry, or we feel like our resources are not great enough to meet needs. I want to tell you a story. I mentioned it before years ago, but I think it's worth repeating. Back when Katrina hit the church I served years ago, we were moved as a congregation to send a work team from Katrina, and the congregation was also sending financial gifts. There was this fellow, and he was the grandson of one of our members, who, by the way, was named Irma, but this was back in Katrina. This guy was, like, unbelievable. I don't know where. He was an entrepreneur. He said, "J.D., we're getting together a truckload of water, a tractor trailer full of water." I said, "Wow." He said, "Would your congregation help?" I said, "Sure." So we got lots of water together, and he shipped down to Louisiana a tractor trailer load full of water. I don't know where he got the money and how he did it. Then he calls me up a few weeks later. We'd sent a team to Katrina. We continued to pray. And he said, "I have another tractor trailer full of stuff." And I said, "What is it?" He said, "Macaroni." Macaroni? A tractor trailer truck full of macaroni? Yep. They were going to bring it to these stores, and it didn't work out, and they're going to give it to charity. He said, "How much can you use?" I said, "Well, I don't know. I can't take a whole tractor trailer truck of macaroni because the trustees will be after me because, you know, I just can't fit that into our church building. I don't know how we're going to give it away." So I'm scratching my head. What should we do? So I said, "I'll take a pallet." Well, a pallet of macaroni, friends, is a lot of macaroni, you know. And we put it in one of the storerooms. People said, "What are you going to do with that macaroni?" I says, "We're going to give it away. And we're going to trust that God does something good with it." And we had just started a food bank at that time. And we started to give it to the people and handing it out in the community. And we sent some with a work team down to Louisiana. And then we decided to have a dinner and everybody make their favorite dish of macaroni. And hundreds of people came, and then they gave donations, and we sent lots of money down to Louisiana, and we got rid of all that macaroni. You might feel I'm full of macaroni, but that's a true story. That's a true story. Now, here's the point. We were praying to meet needs. God sent us so much surplus we did not know what to do with. And I think back on what would have happened if we had received the whole truckload. All I had faith for was one pallet of macaroni. Do you believe that God can send so much provision that we don't know what to do with it until there is no more need? I do, and I could tell you other stories. But God can only fill us with what we offer, what we have faith for. What do you have faith for? We must pray. If we had more faith, more people would come to ask God to fill their empty vessels. Do we believe that lives could be restored after Irma and Harvey? What if we sent 50 people? What if 1,000 churches sent 50 people? An army of 50,000 would make an incredible difference. Some churches are doing that. If we offer ourselves as vessels, God can fill us and use us. Friends, our world is hurting. There are people in this community that are living from paycheck to paycheck. And we can make a difference. And we can help them. And we can reach out with love. And we can do it in the name of Jesus Christ. We're going to have a stewardship drive beginning October 15th. Be in prayer about what God wants you to give. In Malachi, God's word says we're to give a tithe or a tenth of our income. This is also offering ourselves as a vessel and believing that God can fill us. But it's not only in the physical realm. God wants to fill us with love, with joy, with peace, with kindness, with hope, with courage. Somebody may have offended you. Are you willing to let God forgive you, fill you with forgiveness and grace? Or will you let your heart be filled with anger and resentment? People in our world need hope. We need to be witnesses to the living Savior, Jesus. This woman was a witness to what God was going to do. They were probably not sure at first. Are you willing for God to fill your empty vessel with the oil of the Holy Spirit, to show love to your neighbor, to pray for them, to invite them to church, to look for an opportunity to share Christ? All it takes sometimes is getting outside of ourselves, showing love by sharing food and fellowship. We had so much fun last week at 11:15, looked up at that stadium in Emerson Park. People were observing what we're doing. It was so awesome. Food and fun and worship and music and message. That kind of thing allows us to connect with people in a non-threatening way. It allows them to hear the message of Jesus Christ. Friends, we have a lot of things going on this fall. Sunday schools, life groups, youth groups, Wednesday night programs, dinner, mission opportunities. Offer your life as an open vessel and let God fill it with the oil of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm aware this morning that you may be sitting here saying, Pastor, I can't do much. I'm so empty myself. I need to be filled. We need to say, God, come and fill me. Come send your oil. Come send your Holy Spirit. Come fill me till I'm overflowing, that I might share with others. God loves the prayer that says, I'm empty and I need you to fill me. Will you invite him to do that? Let's close with our last song, Fill My Cup, Lord.